Welcome to Games, Movies, TVs, and Stuff, the podcast. I'm Pirate.
And I'm Trekkie.
Sweet. And we're here to talk to you about entertainment. Games, video games, movies. Yeah, TV, and stuff, as in whatever the hell we found on the interwebs. All right, so starting out, we're going to do some entertainment news. Some recent stuff that we wanted to mention, but don't really want to bother talking about. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince opened July 15th.
Today,
yes. To mixed reviews and $22.2 million in midnight showings. Telltale Games released Tales of Monkey Island Episode 1 July 13th.
About time.
Yeah, really. For the PC and Wii, where we once again join the amateur pirate Guybrush Threepwood and company and venture forth to become a mighty pirate in this remake of a video game classic.
And NASA finally launches the space shuttle after 3 days of stormy weather and five postponements. Its mission is to install a Japanese-made component on the International Space Station. This is also Japan's first human space facility, and it took them 20 years to make. Hopefully their next contribution to the global space venture will take a lot less time and be something other than a shiny digital camera from Sony.
Alrighty. Okay, first up, we got some stuff for you, actual talking about stuff for you. We're going to probably talk about Guitar Hero. They got this new drums from Logitech that are somewhat built a fail. Bill Gates talks about Natal on the PC. We're going to talk about District 9, which is coming to release, the movie, as opposed to the something else. Actually, that's based on something else, I think. Anyway, District 9. And then if we have time, we're going to talk about Left 4 Dead 2. We're going to start off with Logitech unveils the premium Guitar Hero World Tour drums, only for the PlayStation 3. Their cost is $229.99, that's in U.S. dollars for you non-U.S. people. The current price of the actual game is $200, so they're about $30 more than the game itself.
Does that just include just the game?
No, that's the band pack, that's the game... A guitar, drum set, and the wireless microphone, or the wired microphone. So $200 for that, $30 more can get you this premium drum kit. It includes three fully adjustable drum pads and cymbals, a kick pedal that's apparently really durable steel and stuff with a customizable resistance spring, and it's wireless. Yay. Aren't they all wireless? I didn't think they're... Actually, maybe the PlayStation 3 or something. I don't know.
I thought the PlayStation 3's wireless didn't work.
Maybe that's what it was, and they had went to... I don't know. Anyway, so it's wireless. It runs off of two AA batteries for up to 50 hours of playtime. Yes. And supposedly it is quieter than the original drum set and more durable. So,
Wouldn't that depend on the person using it?
That actually wasn't one of the listed features. It was one of, they've said, yes, it's quieter and more durable, but they didn't actually listen to it. So maybe that's why they're not, because it is dependent on the player. But, I mean, honestly, unless this thing is built of, like, titanium and Kevlar.
And gold.
That too. I don't see them being able to justify a $230 price tag when it's probably going to last a little longer. Let's give them the benefit of doubt, say, about, like, 200 to 300% longer than the original drum, set that comes with the game, which some people can beat to death.
So, like, 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. So some people will beat it to death in, like, a couple of months, and some people, light gamers will beat it to death in a couple of years. Yay. But still, I like I said, I don't think that really justifies the price tag. I mean, I don't know. If you're made of money, maybe.
Yeah.
But then if you're made of money... Do you even care enough? I don't know. Maybe you just buy the original drum set when your breaks, or I don't know. Yeah. It just seems not really required.
I've played Rock Band and I've played Guitar Hero, and I gotta tell you, there's just about no difference when it comes to both their drum sets. And I mean, they're pricey, and I don't know. It's just, why would you spend $230 on a brand new drum set which I don't think really adds much to it?
Yeah. I personally think that the Guitar Hero drum set is adequate. I mean, for all but the most extreme Guitar Hero players, it's not going to be a deal breaker. I mean, especially since they fixed the cymbals and the drums, supposedly. I mean, I have Guitar Hero World Tour, and I haven't had any problems with the drums. It's, I mean, everyone, you have to give them a good pounding sometimes to get it to register, but it's not like an absurd amount of pounding. You have to make it work. So it seems to, I mean, I just, I there's so many other things I could spend $300 or $230 on. I just don't know.
The only people I can see actually getting a difference out of this is people who actually play the real God of the Alchemist drums.
I wonder how it compares to an actual drum kit, because it seems like the original Guitar Hero World Tour drum kit is actual drum kit. It's got a MIDI out and everything, and you can hook it up to and make it an actual drum kit. And I don't think people would actually use it for that, unless they were just puttering around. So I wonder if maybe this is an attempt to make both a professional working drum kit as well as a game thing, but I don't know. That would be interesting, but I still don't see a market for it.
Seems to me they're just trying to make more money.
Yeah. It seems like Sony, or this is Logitech, I suppose, but it seems like everything on the PlayStation 3 costs a lot more than it should.
Yeah.
I don't know. Price drop, Sony. Do it now. Anyway. Completely other talk. Alrighty. The next one. Bill Gates on the Natal for PC. Is it Natal or Natal? I can't remember. I can't remember now. I think it's Natal. That's right. But I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyway, yeah. I can't. Stupid. Bad name. Or, I mean, I thought the Wii was bad when they first announced that Natal. It just doesn't roll off the tongue, and I mean, you have to use like the back of your mouth to say it. Natal. Yeah. Anyway, so for those who don't know, Natal is announced in E3. It is the easiest way of describing it is if you've seen Minority Report, the movie. They got that whole big display screen, and Tom Cruise, instead of actually touching things and icons to move stuff around and enhance pictures and do that, he just waves his arm around, flailing wildly in a pretty cool scene, and it blows up images and movies and switches between things, and it's pretty cool. So basically, the idea is a camera that watches you move around, and you use your movements to control and interact with things.
But Natal is the company. It's not the technology.
No, I thought it was the...
Really?
Yeah, the technology. The company's Microsoft.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. We'll cut this. Yes. I could just pull an Eddie Izzard and not cut it. That'd be funny. I don't know. I'll decide later. Anyway. So, Natal. I don't know. Train of thought derailed.
So basically, it locks onto your eye and hand movements, and you get to control stuff on a screen.
Yes, yeah. Which in theory sounds cool, but there were a lot of skeptical people saying that this wasn't really going to work for gaming because, I mean, a lot of people said it would, some people said it wouldn't, and they're just kind of like, well, we don't really know. And so I'm kind of joining them, where it was like, well, it's a cool idea, but how does it work in practice? I mean, if you're trying to play a game, is it going to work well? But anyway, that's kind of off the topic. The topic is, it's Bill Gates announcing Natal is coming to the PC as well as the Xbox 360, of which it was originally announced for. So it's coming on the PC, and supposedly we'll have interactivity on the PC by flailing wildly at a camera. Eh?
I saw videos of it demonstrated at E3 on the Xbox, and it seemed to work pretty well. I don't know how that will translate into other programs. I think it was a boxing game that it was shown as. But, I mean, it seemed to be very, very, well made.
So, anyway, I don't know. It might be... I can see it being a semi-useful thing for a way to interact with the PC. You could do Minority Report type-esque stuff where you kind of shifting. I mean, it would be kind of interesting to combine this with a projector and you're like a media PC or something like that. And I don't know, maybe, there's only so much you can do by moving around as far as interactivity. And then there's just times where you need to point and click and times where you need to type stuff in on a keyboard. So I just don't see it actually working except for like a select few things. And I mean, honestly, you're gonna sit. It doesn't work if you have to sit down at a keyboard and mouse and do stuff, and then you get up for 5 seconds to flail for a bit, and then you go back to sit down again. It just doesn't work. I don't know.
This just makes me think of like when people were all like saying PDAs were going to be used by everyone, and they were going to be used for everything, and that sort of has happened with stuff like the iPod Touch and that kind of stuff. But I'm thinking this is like more hype than it really deserves.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the only thing we can really come to a conclusion on is that, you know, we have to wait and see. You know, good luck to that. I mean, if they do cool stuff with it, props to them. But I just, I don't know. I don't see it doing enough cool stuff. At least, I don't know, right away. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see, I guess. Next is District 9. Our thoughts on it. It says they've released a new trailer and stuff, and they've done all this viral marketing and all the, you know, putting signs on buildings and buses. And for those who don't know about the movie, it's an interesting premise. It's basically aliens have made first contact with Earth 28 years ago from the present date, though the film does take place in the present, the modified present, I guess. And humanity, you know, expects, you know, the typical things, either an alien invasion or, you know, Star Trek-y type advance to the future rapidly type thing. Neither happen. And aliens turn out to be refugees, and the last survivors of the homeworld, blah, blah, blah. And we set up a district for them to reside in where they can kind of stay and
hang
we,
out.
Yeah, hang out and have barbecues. And so we basically trap them here.
They basically become segregated and second class citizens.
Exactly. And then we try to take weapons from them. But it turns out their weapons can only be activated by alien DNA, which we obviously don't have. And they won't give it to us.
Stargate Atlantis, anyone?
Yeah. So anyway, so they try to do that. And then there's this company that comes in, multinational, united, and blah, 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 blah. You can probably get to see how this goes. I won't give too much away if you don't want to have the synopsis spoil. Blah, blah, blah. I won't give too much away if you don't want to have the synopsis spoiled, but it looks interesting.
Peter Jackson.
Yeah, and Peter Jackson is the producer, and it's directed by Neil L. Blomkamp?
Blomkamp.
Yeah, good job. But, yeah, I don't know. Some guy. And it takes place in Johannesburg, South Africa, which is an interesting thing. I mean, you didn't really see much stuff from South Africa with, I don't know. Actually, I suppose lately there's been some South African type movies. But anyway, it looks good. I mean, it looks like...
A thinking movie.
It does. It looks like the kind of movie that like kind of combines action and thinking into kind of... When you leave a theater, you kind of go, oh, huh. Well, yeah. Cool. In a kind of a good way. I'm excited for it. I think it'll look good. I mean, I think, you know, we'll have some fun with this.
Yeah. The trailers definitely showed a lot of action. The second one more so than the first one. And I like the idea of alien refugees because, I mean, Africa, you just think... The, you know, refugees, a million wars and civil wars and revolutions and everything, killing everyone. And so you think, oh, where are they going to stick the aliens that show up out of nowhere? Africa. And so it's like, huh, that's interesting. They stick the people that are not desired in the place that's not desired.
Yeah, it's an interesting twist on things. And I mean, I think this will be one of those movies that reflects a lot on humanity in general and our current culture and how we view the world. And, you know, we're a selfish society in many ways. And so it basically takes the bad sides of humanity and kind of really puts them in the front seat. And so I think it'll be interesting. As you said, there, Trekkie, it's going to be a thinking action movie, you know, mm-hmm. with, a good emphasis on the thinking. All right, lastly, we're going to talk about Left 4 Dead 2. Slated to be released November 17th this year. What do you think about that, Trekkie?
Well, I haven't played Left 4 Dead much. I briefly played it, I mean, a couple times. But I haven't really had a chance to get into it. I really enjoyed playing it. This seems kind of sudden for Left 4 Dead, which is like what, released last year?
Barely. It's barely a year old. Maybe it's slightly over a year old. But anyway, I think that the general consensus is it's sudden. Everyone's going, wait, I just bought this game and you're releasing a sequel? Which honestly, I mean, I think people are just kind of, I mean, they're complaining, but honestly, at the very least, can you really, if game companies could put out a game every 3 months, I mean, would that really be bad? I mean, it'd just be the same thing as like the computer hardware industry. You know, a new computer comes out every 12 seconds, it's better than the last generation. And I mean, so, I mean, we deal with that by we save up and wait for, you know, when we absolutely need one. So, I mean, if game companies did this, then it really wouldn't be a bad thing. It just people might skip versions and not play Left 4 Dead 2 and wait for Left 4 Dead 3. So I don't think it's really bad. It's just, since it's different than everybody else, you know, takes like 3 years to release sequels, it's different in the sense of, it's unexpected. But I don't necessarily think it's bad.
The question that I have about Left 4 Dead 2, and this is probably something you can answer, Pirate, is will this provide anything new and original? Because it seems like with the speed that they came out with Left 4 Dead 2, that it's just going to be one really big expansion pack.
Yeah, that's, I think, the question on everybody's mind. Everyone's kind of upset about the release time and how it's so soon, but I think everyone's kind of holding their breath saying, well, maybe they'll do something that's worthwhile and make me justify me spending another $50 in a game. Assuming it's going to be costing $50, which that'd be awesome if they lower the price, but I don't think they're going to. Anyway, so the new things are, there's four new characters, and there's the three original modes.
Do they replace the original four characters?
Yes, yeah, you don't play the original four. They don't even show up. Completely different settings, same zombie disease and setting, but and time period, but yeah, completely different people, completely different areas. One new game mode, and same old three ones. They haven't announced the new game mode, though. A bunch of new campaigns. The only one they've announced so far is a New Orleans one. The same map creator. The biggest news they've added so far are the addition of melee weapons, as well as some new standard weapons. The melee weapons they have are an axe, a baseball bat, a chainsaw, a cricket bat, and a frying pan. And this is probably their biggest selling point, which is sad, is that these melee weapons are unique in the sense that you have to get up and close to the infected to actually do damage, but some of them do, like the chainsaw, you can just run it continuously, I imagine. The axe has been said to, if you can like get people, like backstab people with it, you can kill people instantly, kill infected instantly, which apparently is good on the tank, but then you have to get up right behind the tank and, you know, good luck with that. So they announced those. They announced the new weapons. There's a new assault rifle, a new silenced submachine gun, a new semi-automatic sniper rifle, as well as the inclusion of incendiary ammo, which sets anything on fire that you shoot with it. Which I don't know how that's going to work with the tank, because that kind of seems to unbalance that a bit.
A burning tank might be bad for you too.
But yeah, I wonder if they'll do that. There was a period where, if you play Left 4 Dead and followed it at all, there's a period where a flaming hunter, when he was on fire and he pounced on someone, it would actually deal more damage. And then they kind of got rid of that. And so I'm wondering if they'd bring that back. So kind of, you set the tank on fire, he starts taking lots of continuous damage, but at the same time, he hits you and sets you on fire or something, or he starts setting other things on fire. I don't know. Maybe some type of count. It seems like they got all these new stuff, and it would be very unlike Valve to not have a check and balance system that would really kind of, really balance things out. But it seems like, I don't know, it's interesting what they've announced so far. They've also announced three new special zombies. It's either three or four new special zombies. The only one they've announced so far is a Charger, which is basically the Juggernaut from X-Men. At least that's the description I heard. He runs at people and knocks them around with big, powerful punches. I don't know.
Sounds like a copy of the tank.
Yeah, it seems like it's the tank, only faster. That's the general... I don't know. We'll see. And then the two last things are the witch boss now wanders around when it's daytime. And that's another thing. They're announcing they're doing some daytime maps, which will be interesting. And then the AI director, that godly person you never see, now has spatial control, which I have no idea what that's supposed to really
spatial
mean.
Spatial control?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it means that he can control space. Maybe it means he can control the environment. You know, like environments change, which that could be unique, but
that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, but so you get all through all this change list, and there's it looks cool, but it's. I mean, I can't shake the expansion pack feel. I mean, I want this to be good. I mean, honestly, they could slap Left 4 Dead on a box of Cheerios, and I'd pay $50 for it. But at the same time, I mean, even though I'm totally willing to spend the money, I don't want to feel ripped off when I actually get it. And so it seems like the more they release, the more I feel like this is an expansion pack with a 2 slapped on. And I'm just, I mean, I want to like it. I really want to, but I'm just, the more I see it, the more I get worried that it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Valve has long made its expansion packs much more on the side of standalone games. I mean, we had Blue Shift, we had Opposing Force.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those expansion packs were all, I mean, they were definitely expansion packs, but
the Half-Life 2 episodes.
Right, they seemed like full games, but they were released at expansion pack type costs and
speed.
Yeah, and speed. Everything. So it was, that was always what was great about them. So I would really hope they don't go the way of EA and start releasing, either their expansion packs become lousy little tiny crumbles of a game that they kind of release to, you know, whenever they run out of money, or they don't do things like, you know, Madden, where they, you know, the next game has like 2 new features and updated player stats and they charge you $50 for it. If they go either of those routes, it's just no. So it better not. I mean, I'm kind of a huge EA, not EA, a huge Valve fanboy. But I mean, I don't know. You better not disappoint me, Valve. I'm watching you.
It'd be interesting to see what they price it on Steam.
Yeah, that honestly is, I think that would be the same. If they released it and it was expansion pack E, but then they said, but it's only $30. I think people would forgive everything and be like, yeah, that's okay. It's not, you're not calling it an expansion pack, but you're pricing it like one, and everyone would be like, that's okay. Kind of like what we did with the Orange Box. When they came out with the Orange Box, they released it as, what, was $60 when it came?
Something like that.
It was more than a normal game, but you could buy the individual pieces for a good cheaper amount. Like, it was like $30 for, certain, and like Portal was like some small. And so they broke it down into pieces. I mean, it was obviously, if you bought them all individually, you'd spend like $120 or something like that. But so it was nice when they gave you the option. And so you could get a full-fledged game for a cheap price if you only wanted that one game. And so I hope they do, not a similar thing, but I hope they do this the same pricing thing where they have a full game, but they priced it in the expansion price cost. Which, and honestly, it would make sense for them. I mean, Left 4 Dead 2 is obviously popular, so if you make it cheap, well, maybe that's actually kind of counterintuitive. If it's so popular, you might as well make it expensive since you know everyone's going to buy it. I don't know. Damn you, Valve, and your money makings.
Yeah. Oh, well. And the new campaign, New Orleans, this seems like a kind of a bad choice.
Yeah. Haven't they had enough punishment? Oh, well. And I'm not sure if any of the original campaigns actually had a specific location in the real world setting. I mean, I'm sure there were, but I never noticed it. So having an actual real world setting, I don't know how that'll work. And the daytime thing, I'm not sure how that'll work either, because there was certainly it seems like they're making it really hard on the on versus games when you're playing infected. I mean, you got incendiary bullets, you got the new weapons against you, you got daytime, and I mean, it seems like you get very little to counter that. I mean, like I said, we'll see. I mean, they play tested Left 4 Dead 1 enough to get it quite well balanced. So I would hope they do the same for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing this reminds me of is playing Aliens vs. Predator 2, really got off a long time ago.
I love that game.
Yeah. I never liked playing the aliens, but Because of the way the environments were set up and because of the alien's speed and jumping ability, they really evened it out. And it really, like, the Marines and Predators definitely had the advantage, but aliens could kill people. Okay, so that definitely
helped. Unless the Marine had that auto gun, whatever.
Yeah, but that was a cheap ripoff.
Yeah. That was a little bounce. But aside from that, it was pretty good. I remember a lot of servers banned that weapon, and it became a really balanced game once they did that.
Yeah.
The Predators were pretty well good. The Marines were good, and the aliens were a little underpowered comparatively, but not. It wasn't a deal breaker. Mm. So, yeah,
And I think Valve could take a couple hints from that game.
Yeah.
Or games like it.
But then again, they seem to have a winning strategy for Left 4 Dead 1, so. I don't know. It's almost like you don't want them to change that much. I mean, it'd be nice if they added some things, but you don't want. I mean, it'd be sad if they screwed up the formula. If they went the. I don't know. I can't think of any good examples of games that kind of added too many features and screwed up a good game. I don't know. I'm sure a lot.
Trying to blank.
Yeah. Oh, well. I know it's happened. Insert game title here. Oh, well. Yeah. So anyway, I think we're out of topics and out of time. We're trying to keep these to a half hour. So this seemed to have gone pretty well. First podcast.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoyed it too. We're gonna try to do more. Bring on some other guests and do some other things. I think this is fun, and I look forward to hearing any responses and comments. I don't know what else to say.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that. Have some music.